Jesse,
yeah?
My afternoon partner is out, so I'm really glad that you can fill in this afternoon.
I'll be your afternoon delight.
I appreciate that. Sure. Brian, I'm missing Brian, but I'm really glad that I have you here filling in for the big guy on the show, Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got my friend Jesse filling in. And we're talking a number of headlines here in Wisconsin, so I want to move on to this next one. Jesse, kind of broke right as we were about to go on air here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. The, I believe, U.S. Federal District Judge? A judge tossed the F-35 lawsuits, and it's kind of actually coincidental.
One of two,
One of the two, yes. It's coincidental, though, that we have you here filling in for Brian on a day that this story drops, because this is a story you actually are pretty thoroughly involved
in. So one of the things that we did, you know, as a real estate firm, you know, we saw so many different angles of this proposed project being looked at, and one thing that wasn't being looked at was, well, okay, you know, how is this affecting real estate properties? And, you know, they had put out this really scary map, which didn't seem that scary, they thought, of, you know, a line of different contours of what the average decibel level would be if they bring these very loud fighter jets that don't shoot straight and can't fly in thunderstorms here. And we just simply said, okay, we'll take your word for it. We got our team together. We took a list of all of the homes. We did this manually and made a spreadsheet, not just of property value, but what's more conservative than that is tax assessment. And we determined that what the military is being labeled as, quote, incompatible for residential use, unquote, totaled to $250 million of residential real estate. That's shocking.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And from what we know from our folks we talked to in Burlington, Vermont, where these horrible weapons of war are already staged, unuseful weapons of war at that, is that all the promises of soundproofing are all hollow. And for folks who want to do it themselves, that costs like $10,000 to $20,000, and it still doesn't save you, you know, from, you want to garden in peace, take your dog for a walk, etc. It's not just the people living near the airport. It's going to be the entire east half of Madison. It's gross.
If you just counted the homes and the properties, yes, around the airport, there's no way to get to $250 million.
And it's sad because, you know, the city and the communities that are rebuilding, Eakin Park is a community on the rebound. They're flourishing. They're vibrant. That's going to be squashed by a proposal like this. The whole Oscar Mayer redevelopment plan, that's going to be FUBAR with a program like this coming in. And, you know, just to see if this sound map, it was a cartoon of a sound map, was going to hold true. I, working with Chris Taylor, our assembly rep at the time, filed a Freedom of Information Act request to the military, to the Air National Guard, looking for the data files to make those maps so that we could recreate them and say, hey, you know what? Okay, you're saying you're going to use your afterburners 5% of the time. What if you use them 10% of the time? What does that do to the map?
Yeah.
How big does it get if you're flying these sorties, you know, four times a day instead of three? What does that do? So I'm still waiting on that. Federal law requires that they provided me with those documents in 90 days. It'll be about 2 years this March. So already they're in violation of federal law. That's clear. They're in violation currently right now to me personally.
Yeah, and so, I mean, open records requests are extremely important, and so we see, I guess, not just Speaker Voss's office, but also the National Guard, or the National Guard Bureau. I know there's a few different entities there, are failing to do this as well. So it's unfortunate. I know the F-35s are a very contentious topic here in the city of Madison, and we've got kind of split support on them as well when it comes to elected officials that you might think would be against them, and it's unfortunate to see that we're seeing one of the two lawsuits tossed out. I guess the only silver lining there would be that one of the lawsuits is still in contention, and so we'll see what happens. But as
I'm still very hopeful. I'm not going to lie. I'm very optimistic because I don't believe that any project will ever happen until I see the shovel hit the ground. And we're talking about, you know, some occasionally grotesque developments in that scenario, at least with these jets. If they fly them in and the people eventually rise up and rabble loud enough, at least they can fly their way right back out of the city. Go up to Volk Field. Go to the middle of nowhere. Fly around your little emasculated weapon toys around where you're, you know, not in a populated area, damaging children's hearing permanently.
Yeah, and I think that's... Assembly, U.S. Representative Mark Pocan's stance has been, well, why are we using these? Why are we trying to bring these weapons to Madison if they don't even work?
Well, and one thing to his credit, because I think he played this really well, you know, he said, okay, I don't know. Let's find out. Why don't we do a test? Let's have an F-16 fly around with its afterburners, and then let's have an F-35 fly around with its afterburners, and let's just measure. Certainly you could do us that courtesy. You possess these items currently. We could do this now. That seemed, you know, empirically and objectively fair, and his request was denied.
Yeah. Fantastic. Sure. Well, yeah, so that is the update. We got one of the two lawsuits filed against the F-35 fighter jets here in Madison. Were tossed out by a U.S. district judge. So, going on to our next topic that I want to dive into as well, Jesse, then. So we got besides the F-35 breaking news here in Wisconsin, we do also have a few legislative proposals. We are in the new year, 2022, and so we got a new legislative session coming up. Really excited for it. I can't wait to see all of the great bipartisan work that comes out of the Wisconsin State Legislature, you know, a body known for its... I'm sorry, that's a little sarcasm. But yes, so we got Republicans... introducing some of the key priorities that they want to do in 2022 before the elections this fall. And lo and behold, law enforcement is one of the number one issues that they want to focus on.
Shocking.
So one of the aspects that I thought was an interesting inclusion in the law enforcement aspect that you and I want to talk about is one of the key priorities that they have that they're proposing is the banning of bans on no-knock warrants.
Pro-no-knock warrants. And this goes back to Breonna Taylor, who was murdered in her home. She was a first responder. Police had a no-knock warrant. They popped in, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was a legal weapon owned that was by the boyfriend that was fired at them because he didn't know who they were. What I find ironic is that for all the bluster conservatives give about my castle, I'll protect my castle. And then if somebody pops into their house, they think they've got the right to shoot them, unless it's a no-knock warrant. And what if they made a mistake? And then they've got exemptions from that too. So they're not held liable. You're not safe, Republicans.
Yeah.
Just saying.
The banning of bans against no... Again, it's just... even outside of that aspect of the mindset of some more conservative individuals, the fact that...
It's a pro-state murder bill.
Well, if the cities of Madison or the city of Milwaukee would like to ban no-knock warrants, if they wanted to go through and take that step to make their residents feel safer because they're removing that no-knock warrant policy, that, in like you said, there's no accountability for it.
Humans are fallible, and eventually somebody will make a mistake again. And eventually someone will get murdered in their own home. So let's call this what it is. It is a bill that is in favor of state-sanctioned murder, period. End of story.
Not all no-knock warrants lead to murder. Breonna Taylor's
case one will.
More likely than not, unfortunately.
Eventually.
Yes. And so the fact that if a city like Madison or Milwaukee wanted to ban no-knock warrants, the Republican proposal going into 2022 is saying your local control... be damned. You can't do that. We're going to ban bans on no-knock warrants. And so that's what I always find. You got these arguments, again, like we discussed yesterday, good faith versus bad faith arguments. You can't claim yourself to be the party of local control when you try to remove local control from any aspect of anybody doing anything that you don't want to be done at a local level.
Look, even vampires have a consent culture. They can't come inside your house unless you invite them. goodness gracious, how did it, where did we come to this, where Republicans are openly politically further on the fringe than vampires?
Yeah, pretty much. That's the other aspects included in these proposals that are probably going to be debated in the next couple of weeks, if not the next couple of months here in Wisconsin, is ability to recruit and retain more law enforcement officers across the state. So something I'm sure some communities need. I'm not going to deny that. There's been public service is a calling, and you should be able to encourage people to serve, whether that's an elected official, whether that's a law enforcement officer, whether that's a social service worker. There are many ways that you can get involved. Agreed. And do public service. And so we should be able to provide...
Nursing, teaching.
Right, nursing, exactly. Absolutely. And so we should be able to provide competitive salaries and recruit the best people to come and fill these positions. But unfortunately, these proposals are going to spend about... they're proposing to spend $25 million of COVID-19 relief funds to do so. So again, Wisconsin has a roughly $2 billion tax surplus over these last few years. That's what's been built up in surplus. And rather than actually use the funds that are available to invest in Wisconsin law enforcement positions
or
across
the state. Or in COVID response, putting up testing.
I'm going to get to that. Yeah,
sure.
The COVID funds are to recover from the pandemic, not do things like this.
Right.
And so rather than take the funds that are actually there to invest in our law enforcement community and recruit better members to serve the community and be law enforcement officers all across Wisconsin, the Republican proposal is more of a, I guess, a tantrum is what I would classify it as. It's a petulant child that cannot use the COVID-19 relief funds here in Wisconsin. It is the executive branch's authority. Governor Tony Evers has the ability to determine how those funds are spent. Republicans are very upset about that, and they are throwing hissy fits and putting out proposals that they know will not come to fruition for funding because they're not picking the adequate funding sources.
And again, I bring that up because they kvetch and cry all the time about what's put into this bill, especially because it's, you know, if something is an omnibus bill and it's meant to be all inclusive, a lot of different policies. But here, this money is supposed to be very specifically targeted, and here they are flipping on a bad faith argument and saying, well, we want to spend it for something completely, and now for something completely different.
Right. So even if we could get some bipartisan support behind these proposals, which I think could potentially happen, it's not going to happen because of the fact of the funding mechanisms that they are proposing are not going to be, it's going to be a deal breaker for the governor because we have a surplus. There's no reason that we need to spend the American Rescue Plan funds on this proposal. It just doesn't need to happen.
Nope.
We're going to the lines. We got our friend Mark from Prairie to Stack calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, you were just talking about the no-knock warrants. I can remember a knock warrant that the Republicans got all bent out of shape about when they searched Cynthia Archer's home early in the morning back to check out on Scott Walker's corruption, and the Republicans just had a meltdown over that. They had a hissy fit over that poor Cynthia Archer. Even though here's a woman who actually violated the law, you know, in assistance of Scott Walker, that provable fact. I mean, they've got it's written documentation that she was practicing politics while she was working for the county office and helping the Walker campaign. But they were all against even knock warrants at the time, or that particular knock warrant. And here they just want the cops to be able to kick in your door and in the case of Breonna Taylor when she got shot, they went into the wrong house and they were not. The wrong door, and they weren't held accountable.
But thank you for that.
They murdered somebody.
And thank you for that, because that knock warrant was executed a couple blocks from my house, and I got to tell you, our neighborhood rejoiced over that. There's no tears shed.
So some people were happy, I guess,
in
about
that one specific case.
Specific case. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think it's crazy to think
she got
that
the benefit of a knock, though.
She did? All right.
Yeah.
So we got a proposal coming in bad faith, just like we were talking about yesterday. Bad faith arguments all around, but that is the keynote legislation that Republicans want to see get passed in 2022. It's what they're starting the year off. That's what they're going to propose to do in this legislative session. And I have a feeling it's going to end with a veto from Governor Evers, because COVID funds should go to recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic, not these other wish lists. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. We got one more segment left in the day. We'll be right back.